Hi there, this is Katie, and it is Thursday, February 4th, and this is our first official meeting of the Mastermind, the book, Create Your Book Mastermind. We've been having some lead up, as some of the others know, who joined earlier. So I want to welcome everybody, and today is the start of our main curriculum or whatever. We always have questions and clearings and whatever else you need, but now I'm starting to do teaching points at each meeting, and it's more structured than, you know, it's structured in the way that it's outlined in the sales letter, and if any of you remember it, and I keep going back to I keep going back to checking. Now I said that. Yeah. Okay. I better go. I better do that now. So yeah, I don't know if you've ever had that experience, Alex, with doing some of your programs.
Absolutely. I've been called out on it too.
Those are great ones for being in the moment, but we do have to remind ourselves. Well, I'm just going to say what the agenda is for today, and then we'll go into the various parts. First of all, I wanted to do introductions, and I'm going to do it in a little bit of a different way. And then I'm going to talk about the setup for the mastermind and like just what we have ahead of us. And then we're going to have a discussion around creating the environment and the setup for your writing, so it's the best possible one. Identity as a writer and habits for writing and how to make them stick. And also, I'm not sure whether we should get this right up front, but if there's any particular challenges that people are facing and would like to have something around that, maybe they should say that now rather than later, even before the introductions. If there's anything in particular that, and I'll just put it in somewhere where it makes sense, it may already be covered. So anybody have a challenge that's coming up that's kind of urgent that's dealt with, or a belief or something that's keeping them stuck?
I probably do, Katie. I probably have lots. I just can't think of one right in the moment now when I'm on the spot.
Oh, okay. So, if you do, if it comes up during the meeting, we can, you know, we can do with it later for sure. And, or just put it in the chat and then I'll figure it out. In some of the other meetings, we may have more upfront, we just talk about the challenges and all that. But right now I wanted to get to some items and, you know, just the structure of everything and get some things in place. And I really enjoyed having you all at the bigish, I mean, compared to this, Saturday retreat where we talked about the blueprint. And I'm thinking that for all of you, I had said you could have an extra session because I was opening it up. And so I wanted to give you something to compensate for that. So I'm thinking with your sessions that we would want to do that a bit later, not quite right away. And what I would like to do is have it as much linked to the getting your blueprint done as possible. So I'm actually thinking that the next Get It Done day, instead of focusing primarily on writing, we should focus on finishing your blueprint, if at all possible. And then you would send me your blueprints, and then we would all have a meeting at different times to discuss your blueprints and whether they work and what things can be done with them. Does that sound reasonable to people? And of course, if
it is the next Get It Done day, next Thursday, I think.
That's right. And that was one thing, is that Peter can't come to the get it done days because they're not on the right day. He can come to a Friday. Now, we have two options, is that we could change to Friday, or we could, I mean, for the future, we could just put in an extra one on a Friday, another week than the one that we usually have. And whoever of you could come would come. And I would do it with Peter and, you know, whoever else is available. Actually, we should discuss that a little bit.
I could be free on Fridays up until 3 o'clock. After that, I could just bow out if you guys motor forward.
Okay. Well, we may just do it, you know, not quite as long, or, you know, a bit earlier or something like that. That would be great. And would that be something you would like to come as a second thing, or just?
Well, my goodness, it would certainly be beneficial to me.
Okay.
I need a lot of hand holding at this point in time.
Right. So what about the others? Does this sound good to have a second one on a Friday, or is it something that you'd be able to come to?
Yeah, I pretty much have my schedule carved out for Tuesdays and Thursdays, and I could do an additional Friday, but switching to Friday would be difficult. But I like the idea of an extra one.
Okay, so it's an extra one when you can come, and it's only once a month, so it's, but, you know, still it all counts. And Bart, just for you?
Most Fridays would be fine.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, so you might be able to do the second one, or at least part of it. Okay, so it looks as like we have company, Peter. And we would probably do that the third Friday of the month, which of this month, and then we can kind of look at things whether that works well. But I think we worked that out, Peter, didn't we? That would work for you, the 19th.
Yep.
Friday the 19th.
Yep.
And then we have that free week where we either work on the book or we, you know, at the end of the month, but we don't have any formal meetings. We can work on the book or we can have it for other things, use whatever. Okay, so good. So we're going to, got a little bit into the setup, but I'd love to get into introductions. And with that, let me just look at this. I had a little, I'm actually going to do the breakout team, like the breakout rooms for this. But I first want you to do a little exercise beforehand. And that is, I want you to think about what you would tell one of your ideal audience, a member of your ideal audience, about who you are and what you do. So it's like you're going to be telling the other person who you're meeting, like in the breakout room, who you are, but from the vantage point that they're supposed to be, even if they're not, they're your ideal audience. Like, for example, for Michael, you know, your person is somebody who's maybe going through some trouble with their marriage and needs some advice around it. And Peter, it would be like leadership and, you know, who needs to know more about how to help kids live their potential, leadership skills and all that. So anyway, I don't want to tell you what to say because that's actually part of the exercise. But so if you, I'm just going to give you 1 minute to write that down right now before you go into breakout room so that you're prepared.
How much time do we have in the breakout room?
You'll have 5 minutes altogether.
Okay, so.
About 2 minutes each and a little break. Or at least 2.5 minutes.
And will we do the breakout for like round robin, like so we get to know everybody's project, or just
one person. It'll just be one other person, and then you're going to come back to the room. And what's going to happen is each person is going to introduce the person they were with.
Got it.
So instead of you, that way it kind of makes all of you listen a little better. And also it will show you where you're telling people maybe the things you don't want them to know, or it's that, you know, that you maybe you could have presented in a bit different way so that you would be remembered in a different way. Or it might be that they express it so well you think, oh, that's how I should say it myself. So that's what's going to happen. And so, okay, I'm giving you the 60 seconds to write it down. And then I've got two other things that I want you to write down. I should look at the time. With this, you're also telling them how you help your potential audience, book audience. Okay, so finishing that part up. And now also you're going to tell them the rough title of your book and your promise. So you should have that from the retreat. But do the best that you can with whatever you have. And as well as that, you're going to tell them thing you've done that you think nobody else has done in this group. And that doesn't have to be related to your audience or anything. It's just one interesting fact. Okay, that you think nobody else would have done. Like, it's kind of unusual. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put you in the chat. I mean, put you in the breakout rooms. And yeah, so here we go. I think you should be going in soon. Okay. Are you guys in? Okay. Looks like you're going. Peter, have you gone to the room?
Peter and I are, really doing a lot the same work, just different angles and different audience, but we're both doing it for the same reasons. You know, it was really numb, but he works at this, not just the book, is Leadership for Kids, workshop for kids on leadership. And it's he talks about like an old style of leadership and a new style of leadership. And the old style is like the competition, the military model of leadership. And it's maybe good for some things. Maybe it got us to a certain point, but it's no good up against current challenges like climate change and things like that. As he pointed out, who's going to be number one in fixing climate change? Who cares? We need the leadership of collaboration now. And he brings into very, very deftly, he brings in the ideas of trust, light, inclusion, humility. What was the other one? Doesn't matter. But as qualities that have been around for thousands of years, and we understand their value when we encounter them, it makes for a great leader. But they've got left out of the old leader of the leadership model we're trying to move out of, and we need them badly in order to face the challenges in the world. As well as that, understanding these things when you're working with kids, understanding these things helps them self-empower as a person. It's not just about what they then do in the world. So it's about their own self-development as well. I think that's it.
Thank you, Alex. Well, Katie recorded this, right? Because I may need it, you know, later.
Yes, actually, this part is being recorded, not the break room.
Hey, Alex, what's something that Peter has done that none of the rest of us have done?
Oh, shit. We didn't get to that.
So you'll have to think of that.
So the thing that Peter and I have done that no one else has done is we didn't do that exercise.
Oh, well, think about it and you can come up with it shortly, both of you. So, Peter, would you like to go next and talk about Alex?
Sure. First of all, I really appreciate Alex as a partner. He was a great listener. He gave me a lot of room to kind of talk about my stuff, and I really appreciate that. So Alex is doing some great work. It's called Big Dream Program. So that was very catchy. He helps people to realize their big dreams, people who are stuck, who feel like they're lost, who have a dream inside, but doesn't quite have the courage, the power, the courage, you know, to take that next step. And he helps people to take that step and make things happen. So the book he's working on is called, has a very interesting title called Tale of Two Barbers. I believe I got that right. And in summary, he helps people who figure out what the F they're going to do with their life.
Sounds good.
Did I miss, I hope I didn't miss anything critical.
Oh, that's it, Peter. That's great.
Great job. Yeah. I'm enjoying seeing you describe each other's projects.
You're enjoying seeing us panic is what you're doing.
This is hard work. Yeah, hard work. Okay. So, Michael, do you want to go next?
Sure. Okay. So, Bart is writing a book that's called Would You Just Stop and Look at This Place? And then it has a long subtitle, which I remember as From Disconnection to Reconnection, which I truncated there. It's the audience is professionals who are inwardly miserable and perhaps need a new way to look at themselves and others. So maybe questioning their beliefs about the world and what it means to be a success. He had a successful medical practice and he was inwardly miserable himself, and his turnaround involved his own changing his beliefs and about who he is supposed to be. So he's helping to help people in a similar dilemma. And one thing that he's done that that perhaps none of the rest of us have done is being sequestered away within 3 weeks with Peru with the local shaman.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that didn't happen to me. Yeah.
I know somebody here. I know somebody here who has.
Yeah, close to that. Uh-huh. 3 weeks. But uh-huh. Yeah, and I think you had a better shaman than I did. So, I hope. Bart, do you want to talk about Michael?
I'd like to introduce Michael Clark. He is writing a book on how to be a conscious couple. And there's still a subtitle that needs to be formulated, but it'll be something along the lines, stop being on autopilot and set a better course for yourself and your partner. And this book is aimed at people looking at their own relationships and how to improve them and make them better. And one thing that Michael's done that I can say that I haven't done is he and his wife got married on a sacred Taoist mountaintop in China with their own ceremony planned by themselves. And so that would be interesting to hear actually sometime how that all went. So
that's great.
Good job, Bart.
Idea for a chapter.
I want to read this book now.
Yeah. And good. Sorry.
Actually, I will share, and I think this is a testimony to when you have writer's block or you don't have much drive to write, like I did this morning. I just picked out like one of the themes from my list earlier on, and I was kind of stumbling along. And I left it, I came back to it, I read a book chapter of somebody that I appreciate on the subject. And then I started talking about connection rituals. And then I realized that the absolute most unique and wonderful connection ritual that I've ever participated in my life was that marriage ceremony that we put together. And it was like 100% us, 100% unconventional, and just really, really beautiful. So that made me realize that that's another of the, you know, the personal stories that needs to be in the book.
Wow, that's great.
Beautiful. Actually, I have a friend who works with people. She's a medicine woman and she was on the Creativity Cafe, but creating rituals for marriage. So I'm sure she would love to hear your story because, you know, it's really original and lovely. So, okay. So we will be doing one of the reasons for that, and I'll probably be coming back to it time and time again and hope you don't get bored. But I think one of the most important things for you to keep doing is remembering what your promise is. And what your book title is, because it'll change. But and learning how to explain what your book is about to people. So as you practice it in the group, it will change and it will become refined and you'll get kind of used to thinking about how to explain your book. Because remember, later on, you're going to be asked by the press and all kinds of people, what is your book about? Who are you? And you'll have to think out more, and we're going to be having a workshop or a discussion with somebody on how to do the best bio. But it is one of these things where I'm going to be coming back to it again and again, because it's going to be key to how you do the promotion of the book, and it also sets the whole tone for the book. So great, and I love the way each of you explained each other's projects. And personally, I think it always gives a new angle too. And just for something, I've probably done a lot of things you guys haven't done, but one of the things that I did was I hitchhiked through Tibet.
Wow.
When I was in my late 20s, and it was totally illegal, but you know, I was I endangered my life and all that, but I'll always remember it. It was actually when there was a bit of a liberalization.
Amazing. Wow.
So including going, you know, on a, you know, hitchhiking on a tractors and things like that, because they didn't have, you know, it was like Rocky Mountains, really muddy roads and everything. So anyway.
Cool.
So now, but Alex and Peter, you haven't said your unusual thing that you think nobody has done. Come on, go ahead. You're not escaping this.
So one thing I do, there was a time a couple years ago, I keep seeing images of owls like popping up like everywhere. Like if I go to a store, it would be like there. Like if I go down the street, it would be like a sign there. Like for a couple weeks, it was just everywhere. It was almost scary, right? Just keep seeing it everywhere. Then I start taking pictures. I end up taking like hundreds of those pictures on my phone over a period of a week. That's actually one of the things that really prompt me to pursue my passion. You know, I was in corporate doing like marketing and stuff like that. Then that was really the prompt to push me into doing the work I'm doing now, which is focus on, you know, leadership for kids. And I don't know if you guys had that experience, some kind of calling or something. It's like, you got to do it. Yeah.
That's great. Fantastic. It's actually a good story.
What the owl means, like the owl totem or whatever.
Yeah, it was really like in my face. It wasn't like yeah. It was just.
It wasn't accidental.
Yeah, definitely not accidental. Yeah.
Well, that a number of those would work for definitely going in the book. So. Alex, yeah,
that is a
your
fun
turn.
Story for the book. I wrote one song in my life, and it's because I was going into a folk festival that I went in every year, and I always sang cover songs, and I lied that I had written my own song months ahead of time when they made the program, fully planning to do it. And anyway, I got it done last minute, and I did the song. But a friend of mine had a band, I guess, and recorded it months later or a couple of years later, and it was a big hit in Eastern Canada. And the Moosehead Beer bought the rights to distribute the song, and my song went out in every fourth case of Moosehead Beer that summer.
You're kidding. This is a true story?
Yeah, and I earned enough to pay my tax bill.
Was that after you had left deep sea diving?
Oh, no, that was in fact at the beginning of deep sea diving. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was trying to think how you could use that for your book.
What's that?
Can we listen to the song?
I'll find it somewhere. I'm afraid this is pre-YouTube days, but I think I found it on there somewhere.
Uh-huh.
I'll send it to you guys.
Okay.
Well, you know, Alex, thanks. Maybe you do have a talent for songwriting that you haven't fully expressed.
I never found out. I thought I did quite well with the first one. Why fuck it up by trying to write it? Maybe I discover I'm terrible.
Okay, right. Well, that kind of, that's a good Definitely a good story. So, any, okay, so let's go on to the next. So just in general around the setup of the mastermind, I just wanted to say a few things. There's, ground rules. Number one is confidentiality, that what's in this group basically stays in this group unless it's supposed to be spread, And like if people ask you to promote something, then you can. Secondly is that, and I think this is happening already, that you're here for mutual support. It's not just yourself and it's a group. So everybody helps each other, suggests things to each other. And I think that makes for an interesting group. And it also makes for later on when you're publishing the books that you'll have some partners in helping promote and everything. And of course, people help in different ways. So no expectations there, but just that general principle. And then another thing is if you need something, ask. And that is mostly ask me, but you can ask others. But the old thing, ask and you shall receive. Well, I can't promise all the time you will receive it from me, but I'll do my best or I'll find some experts or other people or other resources. But I won't know what you need all the time unless you ask. And fourthly, if something's not working for you or could work better, talk with me. I'm really open. I like to adapt. I like to have new ideas. I don't see it as threatening or anything. So if you think you've got a better idea, I'm open and we'll see. And next is that this group is for you. And it's somewhat related to the last one. Nothing is sacred or set in stone. My intention is to get you to the finish line with your book. And it's that intention which is the most important rather than all the, all the information and the steps and the little things I might do. Is that the biggest thing I want is for you to write the book. And so I'm going to be on your back about that, but actually that doesn't sound very positive, but I am going to do my best to encourage you to get that book written. And we may adapt parts of the curriculum if I find that something is missing that you need in order to get there. The year is divided into the three modules. The first number of months is the introductory where we, get the outline, we get the first draft mostly written, hopefully all written, but we'll be getting a little bit into promotion because that's always a part of how you think about the book from the very beginning, but mostly we'll be focusing on the writing of the book. Second part is going to be going to the second draft, getting much more feedback in terms of what your book is about and how it might be changed. And then the third module is more around the launch and the publishing and all that. So that's and it's going to be adapted to your rhythms and how things go. So we'll see. And within this, we'll have some flexibility. We'll touch on topics that go into greater depth, which we go into greater depth later on. Like some of the speakers that we bring in, they might be better suited in some ways to the last module, but we might bring them in earlier because you need to know some of the details. Let's say I'm thinking of bringing in Sam, who's a literary agent in a month or so, even though he's primarily around the publishing, which is something you want to find out about later. Or you're going to do a lot of that later, but it helps to know what the options are and how to prepare for that. So, sorry, something just clicked in front of my screen, but I'm okay. So what's the next thing? I think the important thing is that you immerse yourself in the process and create the systems to ensure your success. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, and it's just gradually doing a bit of writing, regular writing, and following the steps. And I would avoid, although you'll have questions, I'd avoid worrying about all the how, and or focusing on what you lack, because it is a very complicated, if you look at the publishing world right now, and what constitutes success, the different ways of going at it, all the details, let's say, of self-publishing, it can seem overwhelming, but it really is not. If you take it step by step, it's fine. And some of these things will become much more apparent as you work on it. And sometimes when we're starting a project, we tend to focus on all the things that we don't have or that we don't know. And I say, focus on what you have and what you know, and the rest is going to come. And part of the important thing of a book is not just starting out with all the answers, but finding some of the answers as you go along. And so don't think you have to know it all ahead of time. That would be a boring book to write. Although it does help to know some of it. Because that, if you don't know anything, then there's probably not a book to write. Yeah, and when you feel stuck, ask for help. And also, I would say that as you go along, just journal whenever you feel stuck. Just journal what's bothering you so that you can bring it up in our sessions and just record the resistance as you feel it. Because that way it comes up and we can help clear it. And one step at a time, one day at a time, one page at a time is one way of looking at it. So any questions about this part of the what I've just said? Yeah, Michael?
So you're saying we're formally starting today. So does that mean we're going to run from February through January of next
year? Yeah. That's right.
Okay. And the first 3 months for the first draft are roughly February, March, April.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Is that making you panic or for the first draft?
Let's just say it's becoming more real to me now.
We've been ambling along a little. And
can you repeat that? I think I missed that. Like the first draft by when? Like
we're hoping by the end of April. That's the first shitty draft.
Okay.
The first, like it's not perfect. And I'm thinking, because I'm seeing a lot of you fairly far away from that right now. And we may have a sprint, like maybe a day or two on a weekend in April. I think we should discuss it at as we get closer, what you guys might need to get to that shitty first draft. I actually did a first draft of one book in a weekend. It was a really shitty first draft, but it's possible.
Yeah, I think this concentrating, this really helped, or for me, the step of really honing the blueprint, I think would be really necessary, because I've kind of switched a little on ideas, and I can still kind of feel like when I sit down to write, it's like kind of like I'm starting anywhere. and so I think it will be easier to be consistent and when we've got the blueprint down.
Yeah,
I think so too. For it'll make a big difference. And then you'll also, once you've got that down and you start writing and you're still having problems, then you'll, oh, maybe I have a little resistance or block here that needs to be cleared away, or there's something else that's not clear. So it just, and I think actually having looked at some of the outlines and all that, or just rough outlines or blueprints or mind maps, I think getting me looking at each of them and seeing that you've actually got defined your ideas more closely rather than just said incident where, well, I'm not, you, this isn't even in it, but let's say for Michael, you just say incident where wife blows up, you know, it's more like the idea of what it shows. So the points of like, the points you're making in a chapter as opposed to the, you know, the whole story. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we'll explain that more when we get to the Get It Done Day. Any other questions or we'll move on? Yeah. Okay, good. So let me see. I've got these little post-it notes and colored notes, which makes me feel things are fun. And so I've done that set up. And okay, so we're going to talk about creating the environment and the setup for the writing. And here we go. Okay, so creating a space which facilitates your writing is really important. So you may already, some of you have got that together, but it's having it so that your book and supplies are on hand. So when you're writing the draft, you don't have to go off searching for something, that it's already there. And also an organized space and clutter-free helps, because when there's a lot of clutter, it makes it difficult to write. Looking around myself, that's why I go to cafes. There's no, it's a little hard at home. And then I think some of you have organized a special binder for your book, a computer, or also got stuff on the computer with Evernote or Scrivener. So just finding ways to organize it. And, you know, just asking some questions. Do you write well with music in the background? If so, set it up beforehand and think about how you're going to set that up. If you function better with quiet, which I do more or less, then don't set up the music. I think also we want to think about how we can make the space as beautiful and pleasurable as possible, because what you want to do is associate writing not with, I gotta do this, you know, this is important for my big purpose, but actually as a pleasurable thing that you like to do, that you enjoy the process. And part of that is just making it pleasant. And so it might be and pretty where you do your work, or maybe not pretty isn't quite the word, but so you could, I mean, for different people that might mean different things. Like it could be that you have flowers in your environment, or plants or paintings, or that you just have colorful supplies. Like for me, when I was writing this class, I have it in different colors and of index cards. It's just funner for me. What else? Also with some people, like a really nice pen, it's good to, if you're writing or you're doing part of it manually, then it's a pen that flows well, you know, not a pen that keeps running out or is scratchy or something like that. So all those things kind of make it into a ritual where it's more pleasurable. And also you might want to place your overall blueprint and different chapters on a wall, so you have a sense visually all the time of how your book maps out. This may or may not work for you. You might want to put it in a folder instead. But if you have a bulletin board or something and you stick the different chapters there with the post-it notes or whatever, at least for a while, that might work well for playing around with the book. And I find it's, and I'd suggest that you have some aspects of your book in physical form rather than just in your computer. Like I often will print out a chapter that I've written on the computer, particularly in the end stages, because that's the only way you really see all the mistakes is reading it physically, or at least that's the only way I see all the mistakes. And even then you miss a few. But also it just gives you a different sense. You know, I just find it works better for certain things, and it stimulates the brain in a different way. And I have a writing set up at home usually, but I also find where I'm, and this is something you should think about for yourself, I'm actually most often most productive at cafes. And staying at home is cheaper. And with the pandemic, it's easier. But actually here in Mexico, where I am, there's lots of open, you know, like there's cafes which are in the open air. And those work really well. And that's what I did today. I went to an open air cafe and just continue, you know, prepared some of this class. And that's what I find really enjoyable and stimulating to me. I like a little bit of sound in the background, like of other people talking, but not too much, but no music. Some of you, Candace, who will be coming in to speak, she says it's related to your soul senses, and she'll explain that when she comes, that, you know, we each have different ways of bringing in information and relating to things. And for me, a cafe is a good place because I pick up and feel things. And apparently it made sense to her that I like cafes for my writing. So anyway, she'll talk about that at some other point. So, and yeah, so also for time, I mean, I may have talked with you about it. It's probably best if you can find a way to schedule a few minutes of writing a day. You know, it just gets you into the routine of writing. So there's not so much resistance when you go to writing, if you do it every day. However, I know a lot of you, and generally I don't do it every day. So just for periods, I will write every day. But definitely we want to find out when works best for you. Is it morning or is it nighttime? Are you a night owl or a morning person? If you're a morning person, do your best to see if you can schedule some writing time in the morning. If you're a night owl, well, do it after work and do it late. And the important thing actually is for all of you to, I know some of you have, but is to actually commit to a regular writing time, whether it's twice a week, once a week, or every day. And because without that, this isn't, you know, it obviously is not going to happen. And whatever great ideas I can have, or however much breakthrough we can do, unless you're writing as a regular habit, it's not going to happen. And so I was wanting We're getting a little, I guess I'll do this in group. I was gonna break out for this, but I think we'll have to do it in the group because of time. But I wanted you just to write down, and I'm just gonna give you a minute for these things, is where do you like to write? And if you just think back at any time when you've done a lot of writing and you've enjoyed it, is there a particular locale or place? Okay. And what time of the day are you best? And do you like quiet or music or a little noise? Did I go too fast or did everybody get that? Okay, so here's the last question is, how can you set up things so that it, with your environment, so it really suits you? And so that you're more successful. Like what will make it more pleasurable for you? Or more functional? I'll give you another minute. Okay. Almost ready? We need another minute. Okay. Okay, so before I ask you to share, I'm just going to read a couple of things from famous writers about their habits. And I recommended this book, I think, in the workshop or on my resources. It's called Daily Rituals, How Great Minds Make Time, Find Inspiration, and Get to Work. And it's a really fun book because it shows how different creatives worked. And what the one thing it shows is that everybody is different. And some people, some of the very famous people worked long, long, long hours, and others worked very little. Some were very sociable, and you wondered how they ever got any time to write, and others were not. And they found their sources of inspiration in different things. Anyway, what I just want to read you something about Gertrude Stein, who was a writer who was in the 1800s to the 1900s. And this is a little bit about her, her daily routine. Well, she gets up every morning about 10 and drinks some coffee. And then she had an outsized bathtub that was especially made for her. A staircase had to be taken out to install it. After her bath, she puts on a huge wool bathrobe and writes for a while. But she prefers to write outdoors after she gets dressed, especially in the Ain country, because there are rocks and cows there. Miss Stein likes to look at rocks and cows in the intervals of her writing. The two ladies drive around in their Ford till they come to a good spot. Then Miss Stein gets out and sits on a camp stool with a pencil and pad, and Miss Toklas fearlessly switches a cow into her line of vision. If the cow doesn't seem to fit in with Miss Stein's mood, the ladies get into the car and drive on to another cow. When the great lady has an inspiration, she writes quickly for about 15 minutes, but often she just sits there looking at cows and not turning a wheel. So I think that's one of the most original ways of looking for inspiration and writing. And here's somebody, Haruki Murakami, who's, I think he's still living. A novelist. When he is writing a novel, Murakami wakes at 4 a.m. and works for 5 to 6 hours straight. In the afternoon, he runs or swims or does both, runs errands, reads and listens to music, and is at and bedtime is at 9. I keep to this routine every day without variation, he told the Paris Review in 2004. The repetition itself becomes an important thing. It's a kind of form of mesmerism. I mesmerize myself to reach a deeper state of mind. Murakami has said that maintaining this repetition for the time required to complete a novel takes more than mental discipline. Physical strength is as necessary as artistic sensitivity. And I think that's one thing just to actually point out is that mixing up your day with writing and, well, of course, a lot of you have work, but physical activity is really important. And sometimes I know walking is fantastic for me. And it's not like I'm writing then, but some of my best ideas come then. Also, when I wasn't in Mexico and when I had a bath, because in Mexico it's mostly showers. I found lying in a bath was good for inspiration, but that one's now here's an example from Maya Angelou, the famous poet. It's kind of interesting because it says things a little bit different than what I say, you know, because for every rule you might make, like make it beautiful or something, there's somebody who doesn't like it that way. So Angelou has never been able to write at home. I try to keep home very pretty, she has said, and I can't work in a pretty surrounding. It throws me. As a result, she has always worked in a hotel or motel rooms. The more anonymous, the better. She described her routine in a 1983 interview. I usually get up at around 5:30 and I'm ready to have coffee by 6, usually with my husband. He goes off to his work around 6:30 and I go off to mine. I keep a hotel room in which I do my work, a tiny mean room with just a bed and sometimes if I can find it, a face basin. I keep a dictionary, a Bible, a deck of cards and a bottle of sherry in the room. I try to get there around 7 and I work until 2 in the afternoon. If the work is going badly, I stay until 12:30. If it's going well, I'll stay as long as it's going well. It's lonely and it's marvelous. So, all to say, find what gives you your bliss and gives you your writing. So just if people would like to share some of what makes sense for them in terms of the environment and what they might improve in their writing environment or timing. So who would like to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
So I definitely, my best mental time for writing is in the morning. I have a home office and I can be alone to a certain extent here, but one thing I figured out that I need to improve is getting things more, I've got a lot of clutter in here that I don't need and I can get rid of. And since I'm writing Conscious Couples, I want to put like a big picture of the two of us in here, of Margarita and myself. So I have like inspiration. and I've got, what do you call it in English? A bulletin board that from a previous project that now needs to be reoriented towards this one. And the other thing, but the other thing that I've, there's a particular, I like music that has to do with like meditation and brainwave entrainment and things like that to kind of get you in the zone. And so there's like a particular creativity one that I've grown accustomed to, and it helps me mentally get there quicker, I guess. And the final thing is that even with all of this, I realized that a lot of time I'm the same way, and that it almost works better in a cafe because I get interrupted here. There are two things. I get interrupted and I distract myself. So both of those. And so it's like this space is really good and getting out of this space is also really good. So that's my thing.
Nice, Michael. And the creativity entrainment thing, would you be able to share it with the group or?
Sure. And actually.
Well, it doesn't have to be today, but.
Yeah, but I think I actually downloaded it from the, I think it's actually like up on YouTube. So yeah, I can.
Oh, okay. Great. Who wants to go next before I volunteer you?
I'll
go. Alex.
Alex.
Well, I'm still working it out. So this would be sort of my guesses because I really have struggled to put a routine into place. So these are attempts at it. In terms of where, I seem to like it right where I'm at right now, here in the basement. It's a little dark, but it's also cozy as hell. And I don't know, it's just the spot to be. I've got an office upstairs I normally use, but for some reason, this is just great for now. And time of day before 2. I would have said generally quiet, but I want to try some of your ideas. I definitely love cafes. I love pubs, to be honest. I could drink a lot of beer at writing this book. But of course, they're all, you know, kind of closed and hard to get into at the moment. So I'll have to not wait for those to open to get started. In the meantime, I'd like to try some of your ideas. I thought maybe even if I put the cafe sounds, I think there are YouTube videos where you can get these cool background sounds, like the sound of people talking in a cafe and stuff. You can get that on YouTube. I found it before, but I never thought of using it for this. And because I'm working on the computer, it also occurred to me to set it up on speakers elsewhere in the room. So it'd be different. I thought I might try classical music or something that doesn't take me along with it. I'll definitely try those binaural beats and so on that Michael's talking about, you know, some kind of brain, you know, fuck with your brain kind of stuff, which is great.
I love that.
I'm thinking another part of that environment would be accountability. So I've talked before about Focus Mate. That's great. And somebody's right there on video. I'd like to try just a little lighter version of that. Maybe some text accountability, like with you guys or somebody else. just say like from 9 to 10 every single morning or something, or on a time by time basis. I think that would help, you know, not just the accountability, but I almost feel the camaraderie of, I know someone's beside me in the ethers doing the same thing I'm doing. I did write down Greek island because I think, you know, that would be ideal, but I don't know if I'm going to a Greek island anytime soon. So otherwise, I think that would be, you know, a good writing environment.
Thank you. That's great. Peter?
So I like to write late night. So usually that flows for me better. Like after 10, 10 to 1, you know, 9:30 to like 5, tend to get some good writing going. I also like cafes. I like, you know, kind of bookstore cafes especially, but sometimes that gets distracting as well. Like then I may see some books I like, end up just reading, you know, like a cup of coffee. But in general, that environment is pretty good for me. I don't like music or anything usually, but I really haven't tried it, you know, either. So I don't know, maybe the music, Michael, you're talking about could be, you know, interesting to try. I also know I tend to work well with deadlines. Like if I have to finish something by a certain date, for whatever reason, like that gets me going. Like I just get it done. Whereas if there's not a deadline for me, it just doesn't happen. So many competing priorities. I'll stop there.
Yeah. Thank you. Good points, actually, about the accountability and that is creating a part of the environment and deadlines. Yeah, I know that one. There's nothing like deadlines to get me going for anything. So, Bart. And I think we want to think about how we can create deadlines for this group. It's a little harder because it's a year-long project, but I think we want to look at that. Because we're on a year-long project, we don't want to make it continuous deadlines because that would exhaust you. But I mean, in terms of one after the other, but maybe 1 week a month, or, you know, we put a deadline on or something like that. So we'll put on our thinking caps around that. Bart. I mean, my writing group that I was in, but I'm out of it right now because I can't handle the deadlines, with one chapter a week. And that doesn't help business very much. If you're only doing writing, maybe you can do it. So Bart.
Right. Yeah, I was muted there. So anyway, I should have written that down, what I said.
It was brilliant, wasn't it, Bart?
Oh, it was just like, where did that come from? So one of the places I really, truly love to write was when I was in the Amazon. Every other day we would have a ceremony, but every other day we were kind of off to be on our own, isolated. And I would sit down and write. And I loved the jungle sounds in the background. I mean, because there were always something a little different, and there were always birds, and there were always something going on. And in fact, in the evening time, it occurred to me, oh, this is how Tom Jobim came up with all his Brazilian rhythms, was he sat in the jungle and listened to all these animals talk to each other, and how they all resonate off each other. So actually I was thinking, oh, I did do some recordings while I was there of jungle noise, and maybe I should pull those out and see. I don't think they're quite long enough. They would get rather repetitive, you know, fairly quickly. But I found when I sat down there to write, it was like I would put my pen on the paper and the words would already be there, and they would come out as I would move the pen. And so it wasn't like I was writing them. It was like the paper was just presenting them to me. So it was a very interesting way of watching it all happen. So here, I do have an office here in our house that's mine, which I like to be in, and I like to play in. This is where I play music and things and record all that. But one thing I do need to get is a new cushion for my chair. It's getting a little worn. So that's on my list. So, but I probably wouldn't play music in the, but I will look into a little low, you know, jungle noise kind of thing. I mean, just very background sounds. So that might be interesting to try out.
Yeah. And there may be stuff on YouTube. You know how they have sounds of everything? They may have some sounds of the jungle too. Mm-hmm. So as well as your own. And and maybe just the suggestion of it to you, or maybe it's a general thing that might help everybody. But just the fact that you already did it and had that kind of experience, if you turn on the sounds again, it might kind of tune into that part of the brain that provided that experience. And you might even reinforce that with some sort of affirmation, you know, like I'm, or visualization or something which gets you back to that way of being. Mm-hmm. And another question is, does a every second day thing work for you? Would that be kind of something where you kind of do your things one day and then the second day you really focus on your writing? So just kind of look at what, you know, at that.
I think.
Yeah.
Right. And I think also Alex's suggestion of a little bit watered down focus mate, I think that might be good for me, is to, you know, have one or maybe each one of you on a different day or something, arrange, oh, okay, we're going to sit down and write together in different countries, you know, from 9 to 11 or something. And I'm sorry, Peter, I'm not a late night writer. So that would be hard for me to do.
Okay, so good. So I think we're already coming to the end of this group. So there's going to be some things that we'll put on our next agenda as far as, you know, deepening the habits or making habits of writing. But what I would love to hear is, what's your biggest, everybody just say, what's their biggest takeaway from today? And maybe also if they have a wish, you know, I wish we could do this or that, then just also express that too. So take away and wish. Okay. So shall I begin with Michael? I'll put you on okay. the spot.
Very good. Yeah, I got my two biggest takeaways are one, getting used to and comfortable about describing, you know, the book, the promise, and who I am. And the idea of the only way I can get good at that is to do it over and over again as it evolves. So that was a good exercise. And the second takeaway is I really need to make my office more conducive, my space more conducive and less cluttered for good writing.
Great. Yeah, and that being said, I guess the priority in just this next week or so is to set up your space according to what you've found out here, and, you know, put that first, and of course do the writing, but set up right now is real key. So Bart, do you want to go next rather than last, even though you just went?
Yeah.
What's your takeaway?
Yeah, I find out there's a lot more options for me. Yeah, a lot more options for me to consider than I had thought about. previous to this meeting, including just having a little background noise or something here. So,
right.
And I think that would be, that might be really great.
I'll be really interested to find out what happens there. Peter, anything else? Sorry, did you have something else? Anything you need?
No, that's all.
Okay, Peter?
Okay, so one thing really jumped at me today is when you said, you know, get a shitty draft done by end of April. Shitty, be good. Now I'm like, you know what? Because I tend to write a little bit, then really kind of editing, like making it good. Like that tend to be my mindset. But you know what? I'm just going to write a really shitty draft, you know.
Great.
The shittier, the better. That's just get right. Whatever. You know, in April, we'll see what happens. So that really jump out at me. Yeah. I'll keep it there. So yeah.
Get out the toilet paper, as Michael said in one of the WhatsApp things.
Might as well.
Okay. So, Alex.
Am I unmuted? Yeah. So, takeaway point five is that I'm really looking forward to reading Peter's book, and that's not flattery, Peter. I'm really looking forward to your topic. It's great, great. I'm so glad you're doing that.
Thank you.
Takeaway for me personally is the, like Peter, the April deadline and the accountability of doing, coming up with some forms of accountability, maybe several. Everything else that we discussed today absolutely is a takeaway. I love the idea of tinkering with the office and the writing and so on, but the major keystones here are the April deadline and the accountability, and my wish is wrapped up in that, is that I'll successfully bridge the gap between getting like sporadic motivation, usually around the times that we're gathering, and actually some kind of a daily or weekly practice. Like I'm still, I don't know what the word, immature in this. Like I just want to be able to relax into this and get it done and do it right. That's my wish, is that I can successfully make that jump into taking this more seriously.
Great. So great seeing all you guys. And just to wrap up, I did write an email about it, but in terms of this month's schedule, we have the next Thursday is the Get It Done Day. And at the same time as we have an extra thing, which is at the end of the day, and I hope you guys can make it, we have Candace Talmadge, who, she's not on the sales page or anything, but she's an expert. I mean, in terms of one of the experts, but she's an expert I'm bringing in. She's written many novels. She's a journalist, has a lot, or at least been a journalist. She has a lot of experience with writing. She's also very spiritual, and she's the one who will talk about the soul senses and how that can affect the way you write. And she also will talk about how to really define closely your audience and make it much more concrete. And she probably has a whole load of other insights on writing that will be helpful. So I'm going to start out with that, where I'm going to be asking her a few questions. And then just to get the ball rolling and to get out the information I would like you to hear. And then you get to ask as many questions and take it where you want. And just really nice. So you don't need to be intimidated at all. Not that I think you will be. And so that same Get It Done Day, bring all your, bring your stuff around the outlines and the blueprints, and we will work on that. And for Peter, it will be, I guess, the Get It Done Day that we established, which is the Friday, and I'll put this in the schedule It will be Friday the 19th. We'll also be doing a Get It Done Day with Peter. And whoever else can make it. And then our last mastermind, where we'll go into habits more, and some other questions will be on the 18th, the day before the 19th, which is the second Get It Done Day. And all of you think about one, your environment, but also what is a workable system of accountability for you? What would you like the group to do? Like, if you'd like to have a couple of hours each week where you work with a group member, just write it down and maybe post that in the WhatsApp group. And then we'll come back to it in the next mastermind with the Get It Done Days.
Yeah, Peter, are you on WhatsApp?
No, I
Peter, are you on WhatsApp?
No, I'm not on WhatsApp yet.
Okay.
I sent out an invite. Did you see that?
I saw a message. I downloaded the app, but I don't know how to join specific group.
Oh, I'm not a real techie, so I kind of figured it out myself, but I've forgotten. Anybody remember how you do that? Do you have a kid?
Have you already signed up? Have you put in your phone number and everything and got it working?
Yeah, I have the app. I'm in the app. I just don't know how to find the group to join.
But I sent you an invite.
That's in the email or that's in the app? I didn't see it.
Yeah, you're actually in the group now. I know you can't find it. I hear that, but you're in the group.
Huh. Okay. Let me check again. Yeah, okay.
And you can.
Not totally sure if I could type in your name or find you.
No problem. Maybe. Let me try.
Yeah, Katie, since you're the person that organized the group, you're the administrator. You can invite him again, and if he opens it up, he should be able to click on it now. Because when you sent it to him, what you sent to the group said, invite Peter to WhatsApp or something like that.
Oh, okay.
So anyway, I'll try once again.
He might not have been signed in when you first sent that out.
Oh, okay. Good. Well, thanks for troubleshooting this. Want to, in general, respect the time and actually not go 10 minutes over time. But anyway, this time I did. Sorry about that. Really a delight talking with you all. And hey, let's go for it.
Thanks, everyone.
Right. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. So see you all on the 11th, huh?
Yeah. That's right.
Bye, Bart. Bye, Alex. Thank you. Bye.
Hey, Alex. Oops, he already went.
Whoops.